Hello and welcome to a very special episode of Red Letter Media Presents.
Looking for a ghost?
Red Letter Media Investigates. The very first of a new series called Red Letter Media Investigates. We could investigate anything.
That's
it doesn't
true.
Have to be hauntings. It could be literally anything, any kind of documentary style subject. But for our very first episode, we are doing a paranormal investigation per the urging of one Rich Evans, of all people.
It sounded fun.
It's been a long time coming. We've been talking about doing a paranormal investigation for a very long time, specifically the Villisca Axe Murder House.
Well, that's the one you bring up a lot. That's why I keep suggesting that one.
In terms of geographical closeness and most famous, that you could easily rent.
Yeah. And bring gear to. It's not like we have to fly with a bunch of equipment.
We don't have to fly. It's reasonably drivable and...
I'm assuming you need like a lot of permits for the Queen Mary to film there.
You probably do.
Yeah.
And it's a gigantic ship with many things going on, so you're not going to have like a perfect clean... quiet environment that is free of contamination.
The Villisca House is the size of the Plinkett set.
And throughout the video, we'll talk about the history of the house. That's not quite why we're here today. This is our discussion.
It's called the Axe Murder House.
Yeah, you could draw your own conclusions there, but this is just a discussion we're having before we leave. And so we're going to film another interview when we get back after we experience the Villisca Axe Murder House. So, Rich, why are we doing this?
For fun. It's a nice, neat, different thing we haven't done before.
I, of course, am known as the guy who believes in ghosts on the Red Letter Media channel, which is a bit of an exaggeration. I am an open-minded skeptic. I find it all fascinating on many different levels. I think I first got interested in ghost stuff on a very long nighttime drive listening to Coast to Coast AM. But the episode was about EVPs. And I was like, what's an EVP? And it was very dark and spooky and I'm driving and people were calling in playing EVPs. And boy, oh boy, did it spook me. So then I got interested in paranormal stuff, watching many ghost hunting shows, most notably Ghost Adventures. I've been to the Zach Bagans Haunted Museum probably 2 or 3 times. I've been to many haunted locations.
You've bought haunted items.
Speak to us, haunted items. Haunted items. Speak to us.
I've bought haunted items, but I have yet to experience paranormal phenomenon.
It seems so easy for Zach Bagans.
Can you please appear for us?
I know.
Week after week for 87 seasons.
He just goes somewhere and the ghost starts slamming doors.
Yeah.
And speaking straight into his microphone.
That's the point of this. This is the anti-ghost adventures
video. This is a video, it's not a paranormal investigation video. This is a video that investigates paranormal investigations.
By route of doing a paranormal investigation.
Correct. It's not going to be an expose like, oh, they faked this, people fake this, but a really kind of like a, I don't know, scientific analysis.
It's us using a lot of the same gear that those type of shows use,
right?
But we have no incentive to fake anything.
Correct.
For dramatic effects.
Yes.
We're just going to treat it completely realistically and see if we get anything.
Yeah.
We're here for entertainment and comedy, and whether or not we gather paranormal evidence, we can still bring entertainment or comedy. Okay, so what is this stuff? How does it work and why does it work?
I'm glad you asked, Rich. We have a bunch of ghost hunting equipment. This is fairly low-end stuff, fairly basic.
Okay.
There are more complex devices used for paranormal investigations, laser grids and all sorts of things like that. This is pretty much the basic. And we're going to start off pretty simply here. Well, obviously, we have a Zoom recorder, right?
Yes.
We're going to use this to capture EVPs.
Okay.
Known as electro voice phenomenon. So, on shows like Ghost Adventures, they use these junk digital recorders for some reason.
Can you grab my foot and drag me out of this room?
These are like $12, and they're meant to, like, you know, I'm at the corporate board meeting, and I want to take notes. I'm in my lecture in college, and I don't want to write anything because I'm hungover. You know, sound quality is fucking terrible. It sounds very garbly and noisy, which to me means maybe that you can interpret, like, EVPs more easily.
Was this intelligent response voiced by a prisoner telling me to...
There are more sophisticated... This is even not sophisticated. This is like 15 years old now at this point. This is junk. But this at least records high quality voices, you know, or audio, I should say. Rich is doing us an example.
This is high quality voices, you know, or audio, I should say.
What was that? Did you hear that noise?
That was a ghost. That was a ghost, everybody! Everybody!
Be still. And then, yeah. Okay, time is 9:37. We are testing our REM pod, our Avalos, and our,
You hear that sound?
I heard that sound.
What made that sound?
It sounds like the ghost went click.
Yeah. So, yeah, potentially, like, I think this or this, I don't know which one's a speaker, which one's, like, this is probably the mic, but, you know, a nice little, very simple, gentle rub with your thumb might create a scratchy sound. When you have Zoom recorders like this, or we have a better, more modern Zoom, this one I bring because it's junk and I don't care if I lose it. this sounds like crystal clear audio.
Yeah.
And it's harder to interpret scratchy, low quality sounds as EVPs. So we're going to bring both.
Okay.
Why are you making my stomach feel pain? Were you stabbed in the stomach?
Well, let me now refer to my notes. This is the segment of the show where Mike brings out paper. My first topic is, why does a location get a reputation for being haunted? This is a question. I have some answers.
You're trying to create like a tourist destination. Like, hey, this is haunted. Ooh, spooky destination. Come
but
here.
That's also usually tied in with some real life horrific thing happening at that
location. Yes, though not necessarily.
But why some locations and not others? Does someone literally choose a location? Because there are places where horrific things have happened that are not haunted or not have no reportings of hauntings. And then there are places that, even weird places that aren't like old Victorian houses, but places that are just like a business or something where people go and they say, oh, I felt this or that. Other people go, they have the same experiences, they're unrelated to those people. Why does that happen?
Well, I can tell you why, like, you have, like, a nice freshly built business park that might not be haunted as opposed to an old Victorian mansion. Some environments are just spookier than others, and you're in that mindset.
Old equals creepy.
Yes, old equals creepy. Dark equals creepy.
Now, Rich, you referenced one of my points. Point two, topic two, why do people see ghosts? External influence. Like you said, you're more susceptible to having a paranormal encounter if you're in a dark, spooky place as opposed to shopping in your grocery store in the middle of the afternoon, right?
Yeah.
Which follows in with your mind playing tricks on you. And you can misinterpret hallucinations. Your brain experiences things. You think you hear a voice. You think you feel someone touching you. All those are sensory things that you can hallucinate or think that you heard something. Mm-hmm. Because, like, you can recall the sound of someone's voice in your head, you know, so you can also maybe mishear something.
Well, there's also a lot of people that, there's so many, especially now, like, with so many conspiracy theories, that's a big thing now, there's just a lot of people that want to believe that they have an understanding of another world that not everybody sees. There are a lot of people that want to feel special. Oh, there you go, yeah.
That's my next topic, a want to believe. Many stories about paranormal things that are probably a coincidence. People think someone is sending them a message from beyond. So, yes.
They chose me. Or, I'm a special, unique person.
Yeah, or, you know, a relative dies. And, you know, you're at their funeral and you turn on their car to leave the funeral and their favorite song is playing on the radio. Coincidence? Or are they sending you a message from beyond? Obviously, if you had just gotten out of your colonoscopy appointment, you sent your car 5 years later and turned the car on, and that song was playing, would you say, oh, you know, Grandpa Joe is playing his favorite song after my colonoscopy appointment? Probably not, but because you just left his funeral, and that was the first thing that came on the radio,
yeah,
when you turned the car on, you connect it to that. Coincidence? Yes. Grandpa Joe sending you a message that he's okay? No.
You don't know that, Mike. How are you going to gather the evidence to prove that or disprove that?
You can't. These are things we can't disprove. And then sleep paralysis. Does anybody?
I've had sleep paralysis.
I have too.
It's fucking
I've
terrifying.
Never had it. I've heard about it. It sounds awful.
Yeah. I haven't had it in a long time. But yes, it's the weird state in between falling asleep or waking up. Your brain's awake, your body's not. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, your brain turns into this, like, panic mode because you can't connect to your body. And that makes this weird feeling like something's in the room with you or that you're going to be murdered and you can't move mm-hmm. and defend yourself. It's very, very unsettling.
You're awake, but you physically can't move. I've had that happen, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then
yeah.
It feels, this is a common one, where you think someone's, like, standing on your chest.
The sixth time I woke up, there was like someone on my back and I couldn't move. And I got up and I seen like a, almost like a figure shoot across my bed. And that's when I opened up this door and I ran outside and in the parking lot.
And so whenever someone says, oh, I went to this haunted house and I slept in the bed and I felt like someone was standing over me, it's possible it's sleep paralysis.
Because they're not dead. I know this and I'll prove it.
I'm bringing this. This is my classic digital camera with a flash. Because I don't want to use my phone, and I'm going to take lots of flash photography. I was thinking about Polaroids, but I didn't have time to find a Polaroid because we're leaving shortly for our trip. But
now, why don't you want to use your phone?
It's a good question. This is creepier.
I approve. Yeah.
Because this is a pure device. The phone, you can have filters on it. There are actual apps that add ghosts to there are literally ghost filter apps. This is less ability to be manipulated. A phone, it's connected to Wi-Fi.
Okay.
This is just straight up, we're shooting to a card, digital camera with a flash. Boom.
Okay.
Nice and simple. We want everything to be as non-corrupted as possible. So that's why I was considering a Polaroid camera.
Yeah, yeah.
I do have a little Polaroid camera that takes the novelty small ones.
Uh-huh.
But it's too hard to see a ghost in a small Polaroid.
I mean, with our eyes, our old man eyes, yes.
I cannot see anything around me.
This is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing complete darkness.
So obviously, starting at the top, we have our cameras. We're going to bring our regular cameras that we use for shooting our programming.
These have no special ghost sensing properties?
They have no special ghost sensing properties. It's just a regular camera. Those will be our main shooting cameras. But the ones that do have special ghost sensing properties are these. We bought three of these. They are cheap junk Minolta HD cameras that shoot in night vision.
Now, I'm sensing a theme here, where ghosts can only be captured on old, crappy equipment that has a lot of, like, static and noise and blurriness to it.
That is not true. Ghosts come around in the dark time when it's night.
Okay.
So a night vision camera with an infrared light that films in the dark, you're more likely to see a ghost than, say, just during the daylight.
So it's specifically because it's night vision. That's what makes this the camera. Okay.
And,
okay.
You know, the theory is that if a ghost is speaking or moving around, it's outside of the realm of our vision and hearing. It can be recorded onto the audio in a frequency that our ears can't hear, but the recorder can.
See that digital recorder?
We use these digital recorders to capture voices from the dead, a frequency just below what our ears can hear.
Very similar to night vision is obviously we can't see in infrared.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We can see in the dark a little, but this will light up the whole room. So if a shadow person walks by or something happens in the dark, we can see it.
Okay.
Whoa!
I have a higher quality, a handheld camera that shoots in
so
night vision.
A nicer night vision camera.
Yes, these will be our static cameras that we're going to set up. We're going to set up three of them around the house. And this one will be if someone wants to walk around and film.
Okay.
In addition to our two shooting cameras. And the four of us will also be wearing wireless microphones.
Mm-hmm.
So it is possible also to capture EVPs on those wireless microphones.
Okay.
So we're still talking about why do people see ghosts. My last part of this segment is crazy. More specifically, a need to feel special.
That's what I was saying earlier.
And that is deeply hidden in their brain, whether or not they know they're doing it. I did a ghost tour once on the Queen Mary, which was pretty great. I really just enjoyed seeing the ship and the interior of the ship, the engine room and all that kind of stuff. But you go on the ghost tour and they talk about ghosts. So I'm on the tour, and there's an older lady with a horrible smoker's voice. And I'm on the tour, and it's mostly just regular people. And the tour guide says, has anyone ever seen a ghost? And guess who raises their hand? The crazy lady who says, I saw a ghost last night. I was in my room on the Queen Mary, and I woke up, and in the corner of my room was a bellboy dressed in an 1800s bellboy outfit. And then he walked away through the wall. And I said, why is he dressed in an 1800s bellboy outfit if the ship was built in 1936? And then everyone just rolled their eyes and we moved on. And then we stopped at one point and did like an EVP session and everyone was quiet. And then, oh, I'm feeling faint. Oh, I'm overwhelmed with sadness. And then the girl was like, my mom can't stand up. She's feeling faint. And they made a whole scene of it.
And everyone else has to stand around.
And everyone just kind of waited. And I'm okay. I'm okay. I think someone was trying to contact me. And everyone just stood there and stared at this lady. And
the ghost chose her. She's very special.
Exactly. The personal experience can never, ever be trusted. Even if the experience comes from your sweet grandma. I woke up and I saw Grandpa. He was standing at the foot of my bed and he said, I'll be waiting for you.
I'll be right here.
I'll be right here.
So did Grandma imagine that? Did she make it up? To make you feel better,
yeah.
That she was going to pass soon. Like, who knows? Who knows what's going on in people's brains?
You know, my grandmother was chased home by a UFO once.
And
a little spaceman was looking in her window.
That was a nut job.
Yeah.
Moving on, we have our SB7 Spirit Box.
I've seen this before.
Yes, this was a gift from Milwaukee Culkin. When he stopped by and we did a podcast with him. This is a technology I am highly skeptical of when it comes to ghost hunting. As you can see, it cycles through radio frequencies, right?
Yeah.
Our spirit box rapidly scans through different frequencies, providing spirits with an endless supply of white noise to speak through.
can hear there's no voices.
It sweeps through random frequencies so fast, it's talking through the spirit box.
So just to clarify, we're not supposed to like hear this in the static. It's supposed to be, the ghost is supposed to be on the spot, on the fly, taking small chunks from hundreds
of
actual radio stations?
No. That's the unlikely scenario. The ghost will speak through it, and it'll come through. Like, here, let me have it sweep, okay? Okay, so here it goes. Are you farting? You did fart.
Yeah, I farted, Mike.
Okay. Okay, now that was a voice, right?
Yes.
But that was clearly from a radio station.
Okay, so it's not supposed to take radio station chunks.
No.
Okay.
If you were a skeptic, you would say, well, that was just a chunk from a radio station. Now, okay, see? Now imagine if, when in a haunted location, over the ch-ch-ch-ch, it says, hello, Rich Evans, it is me, I am speaking to you from... That whole sentence came out while it was going through all of these cycles. That would be weird. That would be the ghost going through and talking through the spirit box.
What's the point of the cycles?
I don't know.
Whoa.
Wow.
Daniel. I heard Daniel.
There's the deep voice again.
There's ones that...
This sounds like a device that they design so that stupid people would hear chunks of radio stations and say, oh, that's the ghost.
I kind of agree with you.
Okay.
The more advanced ones that I've heard, you don't hear any radio. It just goes... Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. It goes a lot faster. Yeah.
We were getting all those voices of Daniel coming through at the dye house. And you come over here, which is right around the corner, and you hear the spirit box behind me. And it's been on for 25 minutes and hasn't said a single peep.
And then you hear talking through it. Now, on a TV show about ghost hunting, is someone like, you know, transmitting something?
And, yes.
You know, so let's talk about our next chapter, evidence.
This will be a short chapter.
No. This is the longest chapter of them all.
We can hear you. We can feel you. Now show yourself.
So our next chapter is evidence. What kind of evidence exists to prove or disprove ghosts? Tell me, Rich.
You have photographs of, like, spooky halos and rings and blurry lights. You have your EVPs. You have your night vision footage of, like, wind blowing over, like, a styrofoam cup. That kind of thing.
What's your name?
Well, okay. First one is the photos. Now, there's a lot of old photos of, like, the picture of the spooky staircase and then the big, like, kind of smear of light. And that's probably, you know, film leak,
Double exposure.
And when they first discovered double exposures, they would take ghost photos. Like, they would trick people into sitting down and having a photograph taken with their dead relative. And they'd say, in order for us to conjure your dead relative, we're going to need a negative of a picture of them. Why do you need that? Then they would do a double exposure, and then they would have the ghosts. There's a famous one with Abraham Lincoln and Mary Todd Lincoln.
Oh. It's funny that there's still, like, today, this far past that, there's still, like, that ripple effect of basically the same type of shit now.
Yeah,
as far as like trying to trick people with photography,
so you have flash photography, which might, if it's been done in like low light, or if it's a film camera being shot without a flash, you know, you could just move it slightly, and you get light smear. There's lots of ways to explain things like that. Now we have digital cameras with flashes, and then the digital, instead of grain, it's pixels, And that's where matrixing comes in, when your brain wants to see something, especially if you're looking for it. Like if you take a picture, I'm just taking a picture of, what's the most basic example of a photograph, Jay? A family photo, let's say a family photo.
Group of people lined up.
Are you looking in the background at the trees in your family photo to see, look for a ghost? No. But when you take a picture inside of a haunted house, or the outside of a haunted house, are you looking in all the windows to see if you could see a face?
Right.
Peeking out of the window at you. And then if, you know,
you see some sort of smudge or some sort of light
and,
leak.
And oh boy, I've seen pictures that go from what to the famous Bachelor's Grove photograph. And Rich and I know Bachelor's Grove. We grew up near it.
It was a local legend.
It's a very old, very small cemetery. There's like, I don't know, 30 gravestones, and they move locations allegedly. It's just kind of like no one takes care of it. Unmarked graves that just say baby on it. Allegedly, if you go there at night, you see like a light in distance. Ghost Adventures, of course, caught the light. Mm-hmm. And
they're so lucky.
There's a photograph.
They're so good at that.
A very famous ghost photograph that was taken in 1991. So it would have been on film. Of a lady like sitting on a tombstone looking very sad. And it is just too good to be believed.
It's a ghost lady?
It's supposedly? A ghost lady.
Oh, okay.
She's not even...
Not a ghost behind an actual lady.
Just a lady. So then I'm just like, I've seen this photo a million times, and I'm like, okay, the lady is barely even translucent. It's just a lady sitting there in like old time, like 1920s, kind of like a sleeping gown, from what I recall.
Was it framed for the tombstone or was it framed for the ghost?
No, it was not. Most things that you'll see are zoomed in. I think the actual photograph, if I could find it, I'm going to display it here, is a big wide shot.
Oh, okay.
So you go from that to like 4 pixels, that, and someone goes, "Do you see the face?"
Yeah.
And you're just like, roll your eyes, like, come on. And then there is the stupidest thing ever, which are orbs.
Oh, yeah.
Now there's orbs when dumb people take a picture with a flash in the dark in a basement or outside, they see an orb, which is a tiny, tiny speck of dust that reflects the light from the flash, and the camera doesn't focus on it, so it blurs it into a blob. And they think it's a glowing thing of energy that they couldn't see with their naked eye, but it was existing. I see so many things where someone says, we were walking around the basement of this haunted house and it was very dusty. Then we took a flash photo and there were 10 billion orbs in the photo. And you're just like, okay. And then same thing with night vision cameras. If you have a night vision camera in your basement or backyard or whatever, a spider web that's run by it with a drop of dew on it will be in front of the lens and blur out and look like a ghost. Mm-hmm. But then you see things where there's like a physical shape walking by and you're like, what's that? Video interference? Really the spectrum goes from no to interesting. And the further it gets to interesting to me is when I start suspecting things.
Like the graveyard photo you were talking about, where it's a physical person sitting on there. I think if there is the existence of ghosts, it's probably closer to the way like Dan Aykroyd talks about ghosts in real life, where it's energy, it's residue from a past life. It's not going to be a physical person sitting on a tombstone,
correct,
wearing old-timey clothes or an old bellboy. It's going to be some sort of like amorphous shape or
unless
smoke
the ghost chooses to appear that way.
That makes it sound like ghosts are more conscious than I think they would be if they existed.
There's two types of hauntings. There's residual, which is an echo in time of a traumatic event that is not intelligent. Then there's intelligent hauntings, where there's a ghost or perhaps a demon, a malevolent entity that wants to harm you, or a ghost that just is trapped between our world and the afterlife.
So that's where my open-mindedness completely shuts off when it comes to evil demons trying to get people out of houses and that kind of stuff. The idea that there's just some sort of like residual energy floating around. I can be open-minded to that of a past life. Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting.
I don't believe in that, but I'm more open to it than evil demon making Zach Baggins go blind.
Oh my God, my eyes. Ow. Ow. Look.
I think the issue is a lot of evidence is just so easy to fake.
Yeah.
Well, that brings up audio. Audio is next. EVPs, which is electro voice phenomenon. Where
you're just never going to let that go, are you?
No. Where a ghost voice can appear on a recording.
You standing right in front of me, Raymond, because I'm not afraid of you.
Just then, I captured this creepy EVP.
You stand right in front of me, Raymond, because I'm not afraid of you.
You can have high-quality EVPs. They call them Class A's.
Those are the ones that are probably natural static that sounds believable enough that you just leave it alone.
Well, there's...
What and say, the... I think this sounds like that. And then you have Zach Baggins whispering into a microphone in post-production.
I want you out.
Well, okay, so...
And that's a Class B.
This is our scientific approach. On the show, they have the little digital recorders, right? Uh-huh. That we've bought.
The shittiest recorders ever.
The shittiest recorders on planet Earth. And they have an instant playback mode. And you know, they don't receive transmissions, they're not connected to Wi-Fi, they're just little shitty recorders, and they'll talk and they'll film them like, oh, look, oh, we're talking. Is anyone out there? Dead silence, cameras rolling. Then they'll play it back. Is anyone out there?
Get out.
And then they all say, wow. And sometimes they'll have like an unbiased observer or some random person with them who's not part of their crew. I hear that. And is it a magic trick? Did it really happen? Did they tell the person, hey, if you say, oh, wow, I really heard that, there's an extra 20 in it for you. Did that happen?
That's so cool. That's
you can hear it
hear
on there.
I that on there, but I didn't hear that in the house.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, some of it does sound like an actual sentence and works. But then again, is in post-production, is that added into the soundtrack, which as editors we know it's very easy to do.
Very easy.
Match that sound, record it yourself, and then add that exact same file in, overlay it, tell the person who's with you or the other crew members, oh my God, I didn't know that was on the recording. That's amazing. Like, they're proving to us on video that they can replay it. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But we know you can add 19 layers of audio underneath.
Or the person reacting could have heard something, but what they overlay in the edit is a completely different sound.
Yes.
And then also the kind of sketchy EVPs, I think it said this, get out, I'll kill you, or whatever. And then they put the words up on the screen, and then much like matrixing, your brain kind of goes, oh, I can hear that.
I guess I hear that now, yeah.
Can you do that? Do you not like them down here?
Don't just grab my arm right here, Nick.
Now, what did you find, Billy?
I found one EVP that sounds like it says, get on the bed.
More of them live down here than upstairs, man.
Get on the bed.
And then there's like... Class A EVPs, which are very clearly words. I was talking to Rich about this, the Ghost Adventures guys. I mean, we're referencing them a lot because they're the most famous ones. There's a Ghost Hunters show. There's a ton of ghost shows, but the Ghost Adventures guys started with a documentary, and a brick flew off the ground.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that when we did the...
Yeah.
What was that stupid movie they made?
Demon House?
Demon House, yeah.
Is that you making all the noise? Holy shit! Oh, my God!
And then, so they had a guy look at the footage and determine whether or not it was pulled by a string and blah, blah, blah. But then the news, the local Las Vegas news goes to this location.
You are going inside the Goldfield Hotel to spend the night.
After midnight, our party of seven again took to the halls.
Because they're like, oh, these guys found a ghost.
And if you guys did it, could you at least tell me in the recorder if you did it?
Could you always tell me in the recorder if you did it? They knew what he said. Could you always tell me in the recorder if you did it? They knew what he said.
But the news was going there because it was supposedly haunted. Local news can fake stuff too.
And then thermal ghosts lower the temperature and they create EMF fields. So obviously if there's a ghost, the temperature is going to be colder on a thermal camera. You know, that looks like predator vision, you know, where you see the heat signature of a person padding around the room. Everything should be kind of like an orangey color. And then there's a dark blue spot on the old rocking chair where grandma's ghost is. There's a dark blue spot on the rocking chair. Why is the rocking chair really cold? That's where grandma loved to sit before she died. What's the explanation, Rich? The rocking chair is right beneath the air conditioning vent?
I don't fucking know. You have evidence of a cold spot, not the dead coming back to life.
This is called an EMF reader detector. This measures in milligauss, the measurement of EMF, right?
Mm-hmm.
So really these are used in all sorts of applications to see if there's electromagnetic frequencies.
Yes.
So you put this near an outlet, something that has power, and it'll light up. Your phone probably doesn't have a strong EMF field. Oh, it does, yeah. It's lighting up, yeah, okay. A little bit.
That's cool.
The idea, like the human body obviously has electricity in it, but it's not, we don't produce an EMF field. The idea is that a ghost does produce an EMF field. Why? I don't know.
Do we not have ghosts within us, Mike? It bothers me. Okay. It bothers me.
Maybe the ghost is so far inside of your flesh and bone and blood that it can't be read by an EMF. So when it's free, then there's EMFs everywhere. I don't fucking know. Don't get all philosophical on me. I'm just saying this is the practicality.
You want a scientific study of the ghost or what? I'm asking, is an important question to ask.
That's my answer, is that your ghost is inside the center of your body and it's so deep within, within layers of hoodies that the EMF doesn't get out, okay? So a ghost affects EMF fields and temperature too.
Yeah.
So they say, oh, it's really cold right here. Because an entity or a ghost will absorb the energy around it to, you know, communicate or whatever. So it usually sucks up heat and it has an EMF field, as far as I know. Which brings us to our next item. This is a Mel meter.
Is that named after some guy called Mel? Please tell me that's named after some guy called Mel.
It's possible. This basically is like a fancier version of this.
Okay.
This does, this will check for EMF and temperature. This is a temperature sensor.
So it's a dual purpose device.
It's a dual purpose, yeah.
Has numbers on it, so I'm assuming that gives you just a better reading of what the...
Exactly.
Okay.
It's 64... 65 degrees in here. This MG is the milligauss. That's the technical measurements of EMF. This just is more generic, and so this will give you your exact reading down to a point of electromagnetic fields. So that's that.
Are you standing right here?
Now, a REM pod is just a little device that runs on a 9-volt battery. That's just saying.
Is there a ghost?
No. Well, there is because we have ghosts inside of us, remember?
It works!
Now, so this little antenna in the whole device is, I think, set to go off based on, of course, EMF and temperature.
So this is basically three versions of the same thing, this.
This, well, yeah, and this is meant to alert you. This will show temperature changes, but you'd have to be standing there holding it.
Okay.
This is meant to be put into a room or wherever by itself with a camera on it.
Okay.
See,
okay.
Like, right now it's not doing anything, and it really shouldn't do anything unless it encounters a temperature change or an EMF field. Like, when I put my hand around it...
That's cool.
It knows...
It's like Simon...
Yeah, it knows that there's maybe wind too. I think it senses all sorts of stuff. That might be temperature from your breath.
Yeah.
I don't know. You set it alone by itself.
Uh-huh.
If it goes off.
We run in with the other equipment.
Yeah, we go check it out because something might be near there. Then you have your digital voice recorder. You say, who is just here? Who is just here by a REM pod? Speak to us, you know? It's to alert you that there's potentially something paranormal has encountered the REM
now,
pod.
Can you tell me why the device designed to send off an alarm once a ghost in the area? Why did they not use the Ecto-1 siren as the sound?
That is a stupid question. We're going to move on. Poltergeist activity. Tell me about it.
So poltergeist activity is when a ghost physically moves something.
Correct. Slamming doors is the most common. Opening windows, knocking, things of that nature. And most times you can explain it away. And you ever wash your dishes, and you take a glass that's wet, and you put it on the counter.
Oh, and it moves. And then
it moves. And there's lots of things like that, but then there's really unexplainable ones, like the actual Villisca Axe Murder House episode of Ghost Adventures, when they're not even in the house. There's an unmanned camera, and you hear boom, boom, boom footsteps, and then that door slams closed.
There's no way to fake that.
Is it faked?
I mean, it very well could be.
That's what we're on to our last and final topic. Reasons why evidence can be faked or unreliable. Parenthetical trust and motivation.
Zach Baggins is involved. I'm less likely to believe it.
This is not an expose.
Any TV production wants ratings.
Thank you, Rich. This is not an expose on Zach Baggins.
Oh yeah, no, I'm using him as a specific example. Yeah. But this is all just a topic of these types of shows.
We shouldn't mention him too much because he might get so happy.
Yeah, we're not accusing anyone of fakery. We're just asking questions and investigating. In our very first episode of Red Letter Media Investigates.
If you make any TV show about ghost hunting and you never find evidence of ghosts, you're not going to have a ghost hunting TV show for very long.
Succinctly put, Rich.
That's why I predict this will be our only ghost investigation.
So number one is you can't trust your own brain. That's number one. This is trust and motivation. These are the topics. You can't trust your own brain. You hear a voice. You hear a voice when you're pushing your shopping cart around the Walmart. You think, oh, what? I'm just kind of thinking of some old memory, or maybe someone just walked by the other aisle. You hear a voice in a haunted house in the dark by yourself. You think it's a ghost.
Right.
Easy peasy. same with like a smell. And that was another haunted. Haunted place I visit is the Shining Hotel.
Oh, the Stanley.
The Stanley, which is not where they filmed the movie.
No, that's where he wrote the book.
He was on cocaine, and had bad food and had like night sweats. Or was that James Cameron inventing the Terminator movies? I think James Cameron had
James Cameron had a nightmare.
He had a nightmare, but it was fueled by like bad seafood.
Okay.
He had like the meat sweats, the shrimp sweats. He had like dysentery, and he was like shitting himself and sweating, and that's where he had the dream about the T-1000 trying to murder him.
That's like the most profitable food poisoning of all time.
I know. But Stephen King, I think, was probably just on a drug binge, and he had a dream that, you know, red rum and murder and stuff, and like a crazy guy with an axe is running around and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And so the Stanley Hotel has built its business on, I don't know, 60 years of movie, famous movie, and I don't even think it's haunted.
And they didn't even film the movie there.
They didn't even film them.
They filmed Dumb and Dumber there.
Right. But if they say, you know, oh, yeah, it's haunted by other ghosts. Their ghost tour sucked.
Yeah.
I didn't see one ghost. But they tell stories like, oh.
Have you seen a ghost on any ghost tour?
No.
Well, there you go.
I may have seen a ghost when I was a child, but that's another story. I think it was part of a dream I had when I woke up. But can you look less enthusiastic to be here?
What?
Anyways, so on the Stanley tour, they say, oh, here's the music room, right? And there's a piano, and some nights you'll hear the piano playing. It's not like Red Rum, like, you know, come play with us, Danny, kind of ghosts.
Sure.
Blood coming out of the elevator, yada, yada. It's just like, oh, there's a ghost in here that plays the piano. There's a ghost over here that does this. And the only thing that was weird was that coming down the main staircase, I went up and down it a dozen times. No one else was around. On one of the landings, I just got this real strong smell of like old perfume.
Mrs. Stanley has been known to play her grand piano down in the music room. She's also been seen sitting at it. And occasionally, if you smell a rose scent, that's Mrs. Stanley.
And I'm like, interesting. So then, of course, I think about what caused that. Did an old lady like just stop at that landing 5 minutes prior? Oh, I'm going to dinner. And then kept going, right?
Some of those perfumes, that smell is strong and it lingers.
And then she's nowhere to be seen.
Yeah.
And so that's the old like saying is, and no one was there.
Yeah.
Context is important.
Yeah.
And location and
people are more susceptible to be freaked out when they're in an environment that is supposedly haunted.
Yeah. And so then like along the lines of trust, you trust the person showing you the evidence. Or their story, when your friend tells you, I saw a ghost. Do you trust that person is lying or making it up?
I may trust that person is telling the truth of what they experienced, but they may be incorrect about what they experienced.
Yes.
Okay.
Never trust the human brain.
Yeah.
Now on the topic of ghost hunting programs and believability and trust, how do you guys rank on that from 1 to 10? 10 being trust them completely, that all evidence presented to you on the programming is truthful.
I have zero trust in any of those shows.
I would say low. I've only ever seen one full episode of one of these things recently for this. Yeah. And I would say low. Either low to not necessarily that convincing. A lot of the EVP stuff, that just sounds like your brain can interpret random static noise and you're looking for a voice and you're trying to interpret a voice.
Sure, yeah.
So not very convincing there. The door slamming could have been easily faked.
Yeah. Now is this part of, do you think they're clever enough to make the voices or EVPs? I mean, I've heard really good ones to really terrible ones on all these programs. Do you think they really take an effort to make them questionable? Because obviously if they played an EVP and they got one that just said, I am the ghost, you know, and then everyone just rolls their eyes, or do they make them super mysterious in order to add that level of mystery or, you know,
you got to make it spookiness. Vague so it can be believable.
Yeah.
So people can say, oh, that might have really been, they might have actually recorded something.
Right.
It's hard to make out, but there's something there.
Yeah. Now when I went on a ghost tour, I brought along the very Zoom recorder that we're bringing on this trip. Because you were allowed to bring your own ghost hunting equipment within reason. And everyone just had their phones, but I had a Zoom recorder. And so the tour guide took notice of that. And he's like, oh, I see you have a pretty decent recorder. He's like, I was like, yeah, you know, I do video production, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, hey, well, let's chat after the tour. I won't say where the tour was.
Okay.
But it was aboard a very, very large ocean liner that is permanently parked in Long Beach, California. It serves as a hotel / conference center.
That could be anywhere.
Yeah. I want to be vague about it.
Sure, sure.
And the guy said that, or the gal, said that they happened to be there when the Ghost Adventures crew showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And Zach Bagans was reportedly...
This
is what the person said. I did not witness this. Was on the phone with producers from the Travel Channel arguing and yelling because he wasn't getting any evidence and they were telling him to fake things.
Mm.
And in the show, they have a shot where they're way in the distance. You see a very dark shadow figure walk by. It's almost like a person just walked by in the background, and everyone freaked out and ran and looked for his, no one else is on the entire ship, blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, it makes me wonder. And long time ago, when we very first brought up Ghost Adventures, we got an anonymous email from someone. Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about this.
Who claimed to work on the show as a production assistant, and that producers had them go around and make noises on the outside of the house, or structure or whatever they were filming in, like throw little rocks and things like that. And I was like, okay, I don't know. Do I believe you? I don't know. And that's another layer on top of all this is, could shows like the Ghost Adventure Show or other ghost hunting shows be pawns of higher up producers who have...
Like maybe their interest in paranormal investigation started from a very pure place, but... Once the higher-ups get involved...
Well, I mean, like, the higher-ups have access to the location ahead of time, and they rig things to happen.
Oh, I see.
Unknowing.
Yeah.
And they go in, like, kind of blindly, oh, my God, the door slammed. But really, the producers went in there before they did and rigged up a little thing that made it slam.
Yeah.
Or sent, a text message to... You know, the device.
That would make Zach Bagans look really dumb if he didn't know. That would make him look very unintelligent.
Well, I mean, all of this is like very questionable. With these shows, there's only one truth, and it's called an ironclad NDA. because we may never know. Since we're going to a place that doesn't have electricity, and we're going to plug in a bunch of... And these cameras come with little shitty batteries.
Yeah.
So Jay has purchased, I think, 3 of these.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty heavy battery, heavy duty, and we could power our cameras and gear if we need to recharge something. It has USB ports, et cetera. But this is also... ghosts are known to use to drain batteries in order to... you know, get power to communicate. So, hey, if these are fully charged and all of a sudden they're dead,
okay,
something spooky's
going
on. We
got to find new batteries.
Yeah, so this is just another piece of gear that we're taking with. And finally, this will be the most difficult conversation I've ever had in my whole life. This is the Ovilus device. This is our most expensive piece of equipment. This has these sensors that take readings of the environment around it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not exactly quite sure how it works.
Oh, no. Okay.
It has a database of words in it,
uh-huh.
Over 2,000 words, and it takes the readings from the environment and it translates that into words.
Roadway.
I don't know how. But it says it does not randomly generate words.
Oh, of course not. No, no. That would be silly.
So it has several other functions. It has an automatic writing function. So it'll try to draw a picture based on the environment around it. And right now it's not really doing much, right? Because
right.
Obviously there are no ghosts here to interact with this and us, right?
Uh-huh.
So say when we're at the Velisca Axe Murder House and we're using the automatic drawing function, theoretically, if I say, who killed these people? Well, how did you kill them? And then a picture of like an axe appeared. That'd be pretty weird, huh?
We're talking about a ghost of somebody that died in 1912. They're supposed to know how to interact with this electronic device with their ghostly presence. Like, they put like their ghost fingers in there, and they know how to manipulate the electrons in this device to make a picture?
The device knows how to help them along with their... What are you trying to say?
You're saying this is like a universal translator for ghosts?
Yes, yes. This okay. is a true or false function. There's a true or false function. Oh, this is energy. So this is basically like, I think kind of like the REM pod where an EMF spike will show up on a wavelength like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, phonetics. Phonetics is interesting because there is the other function, this ABC function, is the database of words. Phonetics, it will generate its own word or sound. It could be in another language. It could be, you know, anything really. So let's try phonetics.
I heard help.
Yeah, I did too. Is there a ghost in our studio? Is there a ghost in our studio? Talk to Rich Evans now if you are here. Talk to us. Hello?
Now, Mike, you've told me that our studio is not haunted.
Exactly. So then.
And that thing just went off.
Continue. What did Rich Evans have for lunch?
Legs. What?
Hello? What is Rich Evans' favorite thing to put on a Subway sub sandwich that stinks up our whole studio?
Well, let me ask you. What we heard earlier was very clear words.
Yes.
Hockey, legs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where
that's the database.
Oh, that's a database.
It's a database of like 2,000 plus words.
Okay.
It claims to not generate them randomly as it's just suddenly gone dead. Mm-hmm. When sometimes it goes crazy because it...
Example.
I'm giving an example.
That's true.
It's supposed to take readings from the environment and translate them into words somehow.
Okay.
From the database. I'm gonna ask you
poached.
What...
Poached.
I can't see the screen. Oh, it's the battery's done.
Once. Logical. Abort.
It works!
And so that's the gear we're taking with us. It's fairly basic level, entry-level gear for a paranormal investigation.
That's fine.
There's more expensive, more complicated stuff, but, you know, I'm not going to spend a fortune on worthless junk. I mean, we're going to start off pretty simply.
Yeah, yeah, dip your toes in. Dip your toes in.
Right, because we'll see what results we get. This is not just a paranormal investigation. This is an investigation of paranormal investigations.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be fun.
Abort logic.
Should that just be the title of the video?
But then the last two things, Rich, that I have on my list, the haunted tour industry.
Yeah. What about it?
You brought this up. In terms of, like, this is why evidence can be faked or trust and motivation.
Oh, yeah, because somebody wants to get...
Make money.
Yeah.
No one's going to take a tour if nothing ever happens.
Correct.
Well, I mean, nothing's probably going to happen on your tour. That's why you just say things happen.
But you've heard stories.
I've heard
things
stories.
Happening.
You know, back in 1975, old man Parsons saw the ghost walk right down those stairs and turned to walk out the door. And he ran outside. Where did they go? They disappeared.
Oh, maybe something will happen on our tour.
Maybe something will happen on our tour. It's famously haunted. You want to go on the haunted tour?
Haunted
it's $15
tours.
To go on the haunted tour.
Big business, baby. And then lastly, YouTube clicks. I've seen lots of videos of ghosts. And I filmed my haunted apartment when I was at work, and this happened. Drawers opening, closing, glasses flying out.
And YouTube this happened clicks. Real. It says real.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
3 a.m., that used to be a big thing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if it still is, but that was a clickbaity thing you had to your title. At 3 a.m.
Yes. So after all this discussion, that leads to us.
Now, what is our motivation?
I've been on many ghost tours. I've even done a paranormal investigation or two, albeit not quite so complex as this one. Very simple, hoping to catch something that I can't explain or have a personal experience that I can't explain. This has never happened. This will be my last ghost investigation or possible haunted tour. Although I've always wanted to visit like the Winchester Mystery House and neat places where I'm more interested in the location than actually having a ghost experience.
But, sure.
And the fact that I am in full 100% control of all of our equipment and gear. And I think the most important thing, especially for the viewers out there, we are known as goofy guys. We make jokes and blah, blah, blah. If we happen to capture any evidence, people out there might go, well, they faked that. And we're not going to do that.
No.
We're not going to fake anything. Anything that we get that's real that we can't explain, we will present to you. And also, if we get absolutely nothing, we will also present that to you. 100% sincerity, because we're not looking for clicks. We don't care about that.
We could call this one in our series of least viewed episodes ever. This will probably be right in there.
I can say with 100% certainty, this episode will be a net loss in terms of
time, money,
cost. The cost of all the travel and expenses and the gear we bought.
It's sort of a lose-lose situation because we don't catch anything and people say, oh, this video is a waste of time. We catch something and people say, oh, they faked it for the video.
Right.
So it's hard, but people, I guess you have to take us at our word that we're not going to fake anything.
People like us because I think they know we're not full of shit. Yeah. We even if we're wrong, we will say, oh, yeah, like this is how we feel about this or that. Sure. And the second we lie, this channel is over with. The second people smell, yeah, they're phonies, they're full of shit. We have every motivation to not lie about what we see.
Yes.
Integrity,
yes,
in a way, is our brand.
That's true.
That's well said, Rich. And to
which reminds me, this episode is sponsored by Surfshark.
But also to add on to your point, one, we're not looking to start a paranormal investigation channel, like any of those shows,
by
like a certain documentary,
yeah,
that their very first documentary caught a full body apparition and extreme poltergeist activity, i.e., a flying brick. So we are not looking to make any more ghost hunting videos after this. Mm-hmm. So we don't care if we get evidence. We're not looking for ghost hunting clicks. And the most important thing is that we don't have a corporate overseer. We have no one to report to but ourselves. Mm-hmm. We have no producer. We have no parent network that's saying, this episode, we're paying you guys to go to Villisca. You better find evidence because we need the ratings. We're investing money into this show. Nope. This is our own money. We're going to burn it. Searching for ghosts that aren't there. And this is our result. And it's just my own fascination with the subject and historical interest in the house and the events, the murders, the whole place is kind of neat to me. I want to go in there. I want to actually be there, look around, go in there either by myself or with my my service animal, Rich Evans, and for my emotional support animal, Rich Evans, to hold my hand because I'm scared. We're gonna investigate. Rich is gonna provoke.
Yeah.
Probably.
All this stuff is fascinating to me. It's very complicated. There's psychology involved. There's your own brain tricking itself. There's people lying for attention. There's economics.
Corporations,
entertainment. Mm-hmm. There's so many different facets as to why this exists. Similar with the UFO thing. It's big business, big money. It's entertainment. It's whether or not people are making this up for their own attention, need, self worth. Who knows? The need to feel special.
Yes.
I have no need to feel special.
I know I'm a piece of just common trash.
I would never, ever make up a story that I saw ghosts.
For attention.
I would never, ever, ever do that. The most paranormal thing I've had happen to me is I smelled old-timey perfume.
And occasionally, if you smell a rose scent, that's Mrs. Stanley.
But no, I trust our own footage. I trust that you guys wouldn't make anything up.
No.
That's the contract that we're going into this ghost hunt with, none of us are going to play pranks on each other. None of us are going to say, I saw this when you didn't.
Right.
We're all going to be honest, and we're going to approach this completely normal. And Freddie Williams is coming with us for some reason.
All that said, we are also very good friends with the professional Hollywood special effects artist.
Don't forget to subscribe.
Take it with a grain of salt. Your skepticism is understood.
So, guys, are you ready to travel to Villisca, Iowa?
I was born ready.
Let's go!